Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I need to come by here once a year or so. It's been probably a year and a half since I was here, just to get my Pastor Ross fix, you know. Make sure that I've still got some standards and make sure all my ducks in a row, you know. I said everything to the scale of Hope Baptist Church, or whatever, Blessed Hope, excuse me. That we like coming here, amen. Oh, get my eyes on Matthew 13. When you find Matthew 13, mark that page. Put something there, piece of paper, your leg, a small child, something. And go back to Psalms 40 and put something there. Put something in Psalm 40. I'm trying to speed this up. Brother Jerry's offered to take me out for a piece of pie afterwards, so we'll be short. And that's hot a la mode, by the way. And after you've found Psalm 40, go back to Matthew 13, and we'll begin. This is going to be pretty short, folks. I mean, look here. We got one pink page, got some yellow writing on it. We got another pink page, and a third, that's it. Three pages.
I don't believe it.
Three pages? That's all there is. And you say, what does all those colors mean? I don't know. But I put them there, and they helped me. So, you know, I've preached it before because the page fell out, amen? But that's about all there is. Oh, we better read. Matthew 13. Several years ago, when they come out with those singing and tweeting and talk to you watches, at noon, it got to be a real joke to see who had their watch set at 5 to noon and 5 afternoon and all that. Because most churches start at 11, and, you know, they never get out at noon, but that's when the alarms would go off, you know, tweet, 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 tweet. And this morning we heard a cell phone.
Yes.
We did, we did, we did. And I know it came from over there. And we haven't found out who it is, but we have. I got mine. It's turned on silent. Okay. Well, you're confessing her sins, is that right? All right. And you put her up to it.
Wait to see what happens
tonight. You know, there's a lot of ways preachers get messages. And sometimes they come from the people. That didn't need to be recorded anyway. But as per usual, we had our potatoes, and we had our homemade bread, and we had our tomatoes, and our beans, and our roast beef, and we settled off with a nice 6-inch piece of moist cake with Cool Whip on top. And of course, Bonnie doesn't eat that stuff, so I had to help her out. But we were at the Ross's today, and we solved most of the world's problems. And I imagine tonight we can fix the rest of them, amen? Take long. But messages come to the preacher and to the evangelist through different ways. Sometimes, you know, as you're reading the Word of God, it's impressed upon your heart that, boy, that's a That's a little nugget. I can bring that to the crowd. That might help somebody. You know, that would help Brewer. Yeah, he would need that. But then other times, you get an idea, you know, you get a thought, and you go, what I need with this really good thought is some scripture. Now, they'll tell you in Bible college, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. Well, I didn't go to Bible college. I was someone's Timothy, and he helped me. And so when God gave me this idea, I went pawing through the book to find if it would work. And I hope it does. Because I'm going to grab a couple of verses out of context and make it work. So you're in Matthew 13. Hey, Matthew 13. So what I want to do is, you know, I got a message about your feet, and I've preached that here before. And I've got a message about your hands, and I haven't preached that here before. And I got a message about your tongue, and I could talk a lot about your body, but tonight I want to talk about your ears. I really do. I do. You say, Brother Hodge, what? I want to talk about your ears. So, as we paw through these verses, I want you to notice when it says hear or ears or hearing or anything like that, to glue in on that, and that'll help you as we work through this message here. In verse 8, you know that the previous verses are all talking about the Word of God, and we could preach that. In fact, Brother Ross has preached that. He's done a great job on it, and he'll preach it again because it needs to be. But I want to start in verse 9. Matthew 13, verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, I read that, and there's another place over in Revelation where it says about the same thing. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What's up with that? What is that? You know, I got to thinking on that, and I got to sitting on my place in the car. You know, she does the driving. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We read this morning, or at least I quoted it, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I can tell you this. When I got saved, I began to hear things that I didn't hear before. You know, things like, you ought to go to the hospital and see that lady. I never heard that before. I mean, go to the hospital. Why do you want to go there? People die there. You know, I mean, it's just truth, you know. I mean, I heard the other day that 95% of the people that die in bed. We've been sleeping on the floor ever since. but the truth is, you know, you begin to hear from God when you get saved, and you begin to hear these things. And I believe from the moment you get saved as part of your new creature, you get some new ears. You know, you get some new ears. I never heard from God. Never wanted to, but who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou in parables? Now this really isn't a sermon. This is probably an allegory, okay? You'll never outline this, so don't even try. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. Now who is the you? That's the one that hath the ears, right? Now let's just say, for example, that if you got saved, God developed and gave you a spiritual ear to hear. Then you would be part of that you. Follow me as we go. It says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, the one that has a spiritual ear, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Them is the ones that don't have a spiritual ear. So whosoever has a spiritual ear, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not the spiritual ear, from him shall be taken away even he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elias, which saith, by hearing they shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 15 says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. We've heard some mighty fine singing tonight. You have got an unusual choir here. I mean, there ain't but a couple dozen of you up there, and you're putting out some volume and some quality that we don't hear out of much larger groups. God's blessing that thing. I was impressed with that, and the preacher slipped me a CD so we can enjoy that. And I appreciate all that. I don't know why I just said that, because I just lost my train of thought, but it's okay. I know what I was saying. I was saying we heard some good singing, amen? And we sang some congregationals.
Amen.
But it would be appropriate now if we asked God to help us, you know. I mean, you take your offering and you pray a little prayer, and you do this and you pray a little prayer. And sometimes, guys, when you pray, you know, I'm not saying you got to catch up on your prayer life standing here. But when the brother asks you to pray for somebody like Jonathan did, has, by the way, you got a round head, man. Huh? You know, some guys cover that thing up because theirs is all ugly. But he got a pretty head. Doesn't he have a pretty head? Yeah. Man, if you checked out my noggin, it's got tire iron marks and skid marks. And I, you don't want to take this hair off. Huh? No way. But it would be appropriate at this time, if we can get back to the spiritual side, to pray. I like to pray. And I want to give you this tonight, and I think it can help you, or I wouldn't be doing it. I mean, I come here and I want to be a blessing. I want, when I leave here, for you to have remembered one thought that I gave you, so that you can go back out there tomorrow and walk through the old dark valleys and have a little pep in your step, and maybe something that the Word of God has given you tonight would help you. So the problem is that many times you come and sit in the pews and you listen to the poor preacher pray. You need to pray right now for yourself. I'm already prayed up. I know what I'm going to do here. God's going to help me. But I'm going to pray for you right now, but you pray for yourself. Well, Father, we've had some humor, and that's okay. Now, Lord, we don't want to go so far that we don't understand that it's your house and your presence need felt. Lord, I ask you to move in our midst. I ask you to change lives. Give me what I need. In Christ's name, amen. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 40. I'd like to show you a few verses that will help me prove that you were given a spiritual ear from the moment you were saved. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Down in about verse 4 was fine. You find Isaiah because it's right in front of Jeremiah. That's I before J. That's how I find it. I don't know how you do it. But Isaiah 50. In verse 4, and the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned, Verse 5 says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. Turn, if you would, to Job 33. Job 33. Job 33. I'm talking to you about a spiritual ear. Job 33, in verse 16. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Now that you've found it, turn to Job 36. Job 36 and verse 8. And if they bound in fetters and hold in the cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, their transgressions they have exceeded. And he openeth their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. And if they obey him not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. He openeth your ears, folks. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew 13. I know that salvation takes place in a person's life, and from that time on, miracle after miracle can take place in our lives daily. I enjoy a steady diet of the supernatural. I really do. I enjoy it. It's not unusual for us to see the Lord do an amazing thing almost each and every day. We just live that way. Well, you say, my life's kind of mundane. I get up in the morning, I go to work, I read the scriptures. I understand. But see, as we're out there and we're experiencing a lot of different territory, a lot of people's different lives, and we're seeing people's lives changed. I think it's when a marriage is on the rocks and it's about to crumble, and when God comes on the scene and people get their heart right, it's a miracle. And boy, I get so thrilled to hear reports of God stirring. You see where it says, he hath ears to hear, let him hear. I believe that God gave you a spiritual ear the moment you got saved. Now, in order to explain how a spiritual ear might work, maybe it would be best if I explain how your human ear works. That's what I had to do. Number one, I had to find out that only animals or humans with backbones have ears. You know, not everybody has ears. So you've learned something today, folks. Understand the way your ear's made. There it is on the side of your head. God put it there. And isn't it amazing how God said to a cell, run down and latch on the side of that man's skull and be part of an ear. And now some of us, he told it several times, you know, and others not so much. But God didn't make a mistake, you know. He planted them things on the side of your skull, and they're there for a reason. The outside of your ear is just cartilage, and just inside the ear is two things. And that canal is some hair. And when you get to be about 40, it comes out. I mean, it just comes, it comes out. Tell me, you know. I seen a man with a mustache. And I said, no. He said it was just nose hairs he was combing. Anyway, I can't say that in church. But the fact is, inside that ear is some hairs. And I parallel those hairs to be like Christians. See, those little hairs inside your ear, you think, well, they're not very important. Ask old Rush Limbaugh that. When his hairs died in his ears, he went deaf. And they had to go through a hair transplant. true story. But those little hairs in there are important. What they do is they're in there and they're waiting for the vibrations to come in. Along in that hair is also some wax. Yeah. Do you know why that wax smells? To keep the insects out. God did that. He made your wax stink, son, just to keep the bugs out of your head. Now that's the truth. That's the truth. Now God did that. So he's got that hair in there, okay? And them little guys are in there, and they're waiting to pass this vibration on. And they're very, very important. It's like the Christians in the church. You know, without them little hairs, nothing would get heard. And without the Christians of the church, nothing would get done. I mean, you may not think you're very important. All you do is drive a bus, and you come here early, and you hear those kids, and it's headache time, and man, you get home a lot later than anybody else, and everybody else gets to go to lunch, and you're out there driving that bus. Well, let me tell you, you're just one of those little hairs, just doing the job, just making sure that everybody hears. Lady who'd had a bus route for 40 years, wrote this and gave it to me the other day. Some would gather money along the path of life. Some would gather roses and rest from earthly strife. But I would rather gather children from among the thorns of sin. I would seek a golden curl or a freckled toothless grin. For money cannot enter into the land of endless days, and roses that are gathered will soon wilt along the way. But oh, the laughing children, as I cross the sunset sea, the gates swing wide to heaven, I can take them in with me. Whew, I tell you what, if you're just one of those little hares, you know, just doing the job, just serving God every week, you won't be in the limelight. You know, your name won't be on the front of a book, amen? But you're important. And, you know, as far as one of those little hairs, they pass that vibration on into the middle ear. Now, in that middle ear, there's three bones. You know what an eardrum is, you think you do. Well, let me tell you what an eardrum is. An eardrum is a tympanic membrane. Nice word, huh, preacher? How am I doing? Tympanic membrane, okay? But there's a hammer, there's an anvil, and there's a stirrup. And this hammer, it really don't pound. It has a hydraulic motion, okay? As the little hairs bring that noise inside, that hammer uses this hydraulic motion on the anvil, and at the end of the anvil is a stirrup. And the bones get smaller. The stirrup is no bigger, Brother Don, than a piece of rice. And that concentrated noise or vibrations come down, and the more you concentrate, it gets smaller, the stronger it gets, until it gets to that end of the stirrup. And that's all going on in the middle ear. Connected to that eardrum or eustachian tube on the back side is connected to the tympanic membrane is something called a eustachian tube. That's simply a tube that runs up the back of your throat. When you get on the plane and you gotta swallow or chew gum to make that go away, you know, what that is you're getting the air balance on one side of the eardrum or not. That's that eustachian tube, okay? You've heard people that have had to get tubes in their ears and things like that. That's because there's been too much, the moisture runs down that eustachian tube and it gets that eardrum wet or moist. And then when the hairs tell the little hammer there as it beats out on the anvil, if it's got moisture on it, you won't get the right sound. That's why it's necessary that we drain that. How am I doing on the medical? Okay, we okay? But the fact is, that's how your ears work, okay? You got that outer ear, you got this middle ear, and then you got the inner ear. And it's nice because I got all these ladies going, oh, I read about this, okay. The men are going, huh? But hey, right, Dave? We don't know. We just listen with them. But the fact is, the inner ear does more than just hear. Yes, there's something called a cochlea. The cochlea is shaped like a seashell, and it gets electronic signals out of that middle ear. But in the cochlea, if the cochlea is ever damaged, you're probably gone with your hearing. You're deaf. You're probably deaf. Now, a guy in our church, 21 years old, they made him an eardrum. They did. He always wore one of those big old bonnets, you know, the big knobs on your ear. And, you know, someone that's had to go through life as a child with this big apparatus on their head, and man, take the teasing, you know. Well, this kid, 21 years old, they made him an eardrum. And he can hear. He's just thrilled not to wear this hair bonnet, you know. And inside that inner ear is not only a cochlea that hears. No, and by the way you damage your cochlea is loud sounds. And they probably sound like this. Boom, 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 boom. You got it. You got it. That's because half the guys in here over 60, when you call their name, they go, huh?
Yeah.
That's because they were working at the factory before they had ear protection and in the different services and next to some shotgun or a big gun going off, brother. I mean, they're ruining their ears. But in that inner ear, besides the cochlea, is also two little bags, okay? The one bag goes vertical, and there's more little hairs in there. And these little hairs, they stick down into the bag, and in the bag is a bunch of gelatin. That's what the book said. Gelatin, like jello, okay? So in this bag is a bunch of hairs stuck in there, so that when I go like this, these little hairs are going like this, but the other end's in the jello, and they're going like this, and they say to the brain, he's jumping again. Then there's a bag that goes like this. And when I do a little pirouette, they go, he's spinning again. Because the little hairs get sloshed around, and that's how your inner ear works for balance. Now, I tell you all that so that you can understand how your ear works. It's amazing. I learned that some critters, such as mosquitoes, they don't have ears. They have these little hairs on their legs. So they might say, what'd you say? I mean, you know, it's the truth. There's insects that have these little hairs on their abdomen. They go, what'd you say? I mean, that's just the way God made them. Snakes don't have ears. What snakes do is, because, you know, they crawl on the ground. God put them there too. They drop their lower jaw and pick up the vibration on the ground. I just know that when I got saved, I began to hear from the Lord. He began to speak to me. And in understanding how my ear works, I began to understand some things about the Lord. And then I seen, as he spoke to me, over there in Hebrews 12, where he talks about chastising and scourging that I read this morning. And then I seen this commercial, and the guy said, can you hear me now? And I went, huh, the Lord's been speaking to me about this. You know, maybe you're the one that's supposed to go fix the drywall over here in the roof. I know Bonnie could do it, preacher, but we're going to be gone. But the fact is, there ought not to be a waiting list for a Sunday school teacher. There ought not be a waiting list for a janitor. You ought to be in line waiting to work for God. He's been speaking to you. He's been speaking to you, and sometimes, you know, he has to just get our attention, and after he gets our attention, maybe he says, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that, here's something. Whose job is it? This is a story about four people. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could do. That's what happens in the church. God speaks to you and he says, you fixed drywall before, you're retired, you got time, and you're hearing from the Lord, and you don't do it. When we're driving, she's driving, I have some number 6 grade construction earplugs. And I recline the seat on that Grand Marquis. I turn all the air pointing at me. I put, that rhymed, I'm a poet and didn't know it. And I put in those earplugs and I lay back and I'm gone. I don't hear the semis blowing. I don't hear her preaching tapes and music. I don't hear any of that. I'm gone because I voluntarily shut off my hearing. You can do that spiritually. You can come to church and you can sit there and you can cross your arms or whatever you do, and you can look just like a guy. Stopped your spiritual ear. You're not willing to hear from God. You're not going to move for Him anyway. Oh, you like to hear the preacher say it. But the truth is, you're not going to hear it. It's no difference than when we talk about money. There he goes again. Yeah, it's the truth. The other day we were somewhere. Fort Wayne. We were actually in Fort Wayne. And it was pouring rain. I walked outside the motel room, and hidden alongside the side of the motel was two young girls, probably in their late teens, scadly clothed. This was early in the morning, badly tattooed and scarred from sin. And they had another fellow with them who I think was kind of running their business, if you get the point. And I stood there for a minute. And the Lord folks, I didn't hear from God, "Hey, Patrick," that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting a thought, you know? Your thoughts only come from three places. Something you've done before, something you've seen, something you told, something you've been told, something you've read, something you've done before. The devil himself or the Holy Ghost. That's all I can figure out where my thoughts come from. Well, I ain't talking to the devil, and I ain't looking for him to give me direction. I'm looking for the Lord to give me direction. I'm looking for him to speak to me, and I want to hear from him. And he that hath an ear, let him hear. And just as clear as the thought came to me from the Lord, give that girl some money. Well, you know, how much money do you give her? Well, I'm just telling you what happened. And at first I said to her, I said, "Where are you from?" And I could tell you, it was cold and rainy. And she said, "Well, I'm from North Carolina." I said, "Well, what are you doing up here?" And the other girl kind of moved away. She wasn't really the one the Lord had me to talk to. She said, "Well, I'm from North Carolina." I said, "How long have you been up here?" And she said, "Too long." I said, "You need to get back home?" She said, "It'd be good to back home." But she says, "There's nobody there for me." And I just visited with her a little bit. And I reached in my pocket and I took $50. You say, $50? Yeah, $50. And I put it in the gospel track, and I said, "You know, I just want you to read this. And I know you need some money." I said, "Would you just take this?" He said, "Well, she probably went out and bought some dope." I don't think so. And I don't know what she did. But she took that, and her eyes got about that big around. And I could see in her eyes that she was saying, "Why are you doing this?" I said, "Read it and live for God. You won't be sorry." Yeah. I went back in my motel room. I want to tell you, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. And see, He speaks to you. Sometime you got the day off and you're cruising down the road and you look down that side street and here's this guy standing in front of a pickup looking at his flat tire. He's going, "Wow." And here you are driving by, got nowhere to go. And the Lord says to you, "Hey, bozo, go over there and help that guy." Who do you think's telling you that? The devil? He wants you to assist and help and love on people and use your talents and your abilities. And sometimes when you don't, you know, choices create consequences. And sometimes these consequences hurt. And then He says, "Can you hear me now?" I'm not saying God's in heaven with a whip waiting for you to make a mistake, but I'm saying He'll speak to you. Look, if you would, in Matthew 13, and we'll see if we can wrap some of this up. Matthew 13, and look at verse 15. It says, "For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." The people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. In Lamentations, it says, "Thine eye affecteth mine heart." So in other words, whatever you look at, whatever you watch, whatever you put in these eyes affects your heart. Well, here it says, your heart affects your hearing. Yeah, that's what it says. So you got this spiritual ear and you want to hear from God. You got your eyeballs out there looking at things that you ought not to be looking at. That's affecting your heart. You're not going to hear from God. Make sense? And that's the truth. Guys especially are this way. We're not a bunch of perverts. God made us this way. But we can control ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know? I mean, hey, see this ring? That's 33 years of marriage. I got married when I was 9. And when, you know, I've got one at home to look at. And when we're out there driving around and doing what we do, and you see one of these people jogging down the street, you know, and they only got about that much down here and about this much up there. And man, you're driving your car and you're going, "Oh man, you know, anywhere but over there, right?" Yep. Amen. Well, how does that happen? You just heard from the Lord. The Holy Spirit is telling you, turn your head, dipstick, you know. And see, your heart affects your hearing. Your eyes affect your heart. I voluntarily plug my ears off with those earplugs. But see, you can voluntarily plug your hearing off from God. Just run your eyes wherever they want. I can guarantee you, guys, don't be listening to this, girls, but guys, when you're out there staring at somebody that you don't need to be staring at, you're not praying.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That ain't happening. Maybe you're praying, but it ain't right. I'm just telling you this. Your spiritual ear is something that you can control.
Yes.
And your spiritual ear, when I piloted planes, and that wasn't very good at it, and I didn't do it a lot, but I did it. I wasn't a good pilot. I recommend if you're not a good pilot, you quit. And if at first you don't succeed, don't try skydiving, you know. but the truth is, when I pilot a plane, I flew into a fog bank. I couldn't see. I couldn't see anything. And you can get what's called vertigo. In a plane, you can literally be flying upside down, and you think that you're flying right side up. Well, you got to trust the instruments. Man, that's all you got is the instruments. And that's life and death. Folks, we're flying high. And this right here is the instrument. And you got to trust it. It is never wrong. You see where it says Holy Bible? It's the Holy Bible. It is. There's no air in here. It's a hymn book. It's all about Him. And we need to trust it through every storm and every fog bank and every peak and every valley. This is the instrument.
Amen.
No error. And you can hear from God, and He'll speak to you. He'll teach you. He'll tell you when to turn to the right and when to turn to the left. He will literally guide your life. That's what's been so wonderful about being saved. It's not just I'm going to heaven. That's just a side note. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. But man, I'm connected to divine life, and I can literally hear from God, and I can know whether to lease a car, buy a car, move, stay home, put my kids in this school or that college. I can know. You can know. How can you know? Hear from God. Open your spiritual ear. You can only open your spiritual ear by watching what you look at, number one. Now I'm going to close. A good evangelist should close at least three times. That's two. See, in your human ear, you can get adenoid problems, tonsillectomies, or what's tonsil? You know what I'm saying. Help me. Yeah, let her preach. All those things have to do with the ears. Well, when you get that worked on, your hearing is better, your speech is better. When you got your spiritual ear all full of bacteria, and that's what happens with adenoids and sinus problems, is you get bacteria in there on the tympanic membrane in that eustachian tube, you can't hear right. Well, spiritually speaking, when you get your spiritual ear all backed up with bacteria because what you're doing, what you're looking at, what you're seeing, what you're listening to, you're not going to hear from God.
Amen. That's right.
You got that in your life. And, you know, I love my grandkids, and that's why I guess I'm missing them. That's why I'm talking to you about my grandkids. But you don't have that problem. They're all here. Amen for that. But the fact is, when I tell Patrick to do something, he's a pretty good boy. But once in a while, you know, I got to get his attention. Like I told you this morning. And sometimes, you know, God's been speaking to you about something. See, He wants to bless. He is the blesser.
Yes, He is.
And He's been speaking to you. I mean, Brother Greg, look at them twins, man. You are blessed. You are blessed. And if God says to you, hey, take some of your hard-earned money and ship it off to some Christian college kids that's up there trying to get through. I mean, if God says that to you, if you hear that, man, don't worry about doing that. Do it. And then watch the blesser bless. Because that's the exciting thing. You say, you're always talking about money. I am. Because money makes all of us tick. Why do you think Baptists got that button right back there? To hold it in there, man. The fact is, when you hear from God, He's speaking to you, He's giving you some direction. And if you will literally get the infection out of your spiritual ear, I mean, hey, you know what's wrong in your life. You know what the problem is. Get that right. And then begin to talk to God. Wait for Him to speak to you. When He speaks to you, and you know you got orders from headquarters, just go ahead and do it.
Amen.
Now, if you're not sure and you're just a novice and you're getting through, you might run the book and say, hey, preacher, what do you think about this? I've been thinking about doing this. You know, He's not a bad pilot. He knows the instruments. But the fact is, you can hear from God. Ephesians 4:32, and I'll close. Don't wait for the Lord to scourge you and then say, can you hear me now? See, that's what you don't want. Don't worry about that little girl, Miss Tina. I could preach louder than that. She's an answer to prayer anyway. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 4:32. See where it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ's sake has forgiven you. No one starts a nursing home ministry for notoriety. No. When it says be kind one to another, What's happened here is this man, God has been speaking to his spiritual ear. He's been speaking to him, and he's been speaking to him, and he's finally said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. And let me assure you, one of the most rewarding ministries in my life has been my nursing home ministries. For 10 years or so, I preached in two or three. And let me assure you that when my kids first got there, they were younger, and they would go in, and it was hot there, and it had a little smell to the place, and you know how it is. Mommy, mommy, it smells. It doesn't. But after they had been there a few weeks and a few months, they'd run down, they'd pick out their own little grandma they knew, and wheel them down to the dining hall where we could preach and sing to them. Absolutely. Nothing sweeter than that. Absolutely. Let me give you an encouraging poem about nursing homes. I'm getting old and shaky. I'm nearly 83. The world seems dull and empty, for nobody cares for me. With none to call me granny, for I have no child, you see. I've worked and scrubbed and mended, just as busy as a bee. My relatives I've tended, but none remembers me. And now I'm in my 80s, but I can still hear and see. A lady came to visit, a stranger quite to me. She held my hand so kindly and spoke so lovingly. She told me Jesus loves me, yes, although I'm 83. I've kept it as a secret. Now I'll tell you it bold and free. I'm not too old for Jesus, as far as I can see. Although his age is endless, he's not too old for me. No longer am I lonely, however could I be. My heart is full of gladness. I'm trusting and I'm free, just because I've heard of Jesus and he's all the world to me. Somebody that goes into that ministry is because they've heard from the Lord and they're obeying, and you will be rewarded. You're here and you have been thinking about running the vacuum. I'm being real here, folks. You have been challenged that you've got the time. There's some vacuuming needs done. There's some weeds out here that needs to be pulled. There's some paint that needs to go on. There's some things that you could physically do. And if you're here and you can't do those physically things, and God is praying to you or speaking to you about praying for someone that is in the ministry, and you have yet to take the time to pray for them, understand who's speaking to you. It's God. And don't wait for something to occur so that the Lord will say then, can you hear me now? He will make himself known. You're here tonight and you've never been saved. See where it says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The most wonderful thing about being saved is that song they sang tonight about under the blood. Hey, all our sins are under the blood. Whoo! What a burying program that was. You're here tonight and you've got a situation where you are feeling bitterness against somebody. You say, brother, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how they've harmed me. God knows all about that. And he's speaking to you, and he's saying, you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them so that I can help you, so I can assist you, so I can use you. You say, well, hey, he's an ex, and that ex, man, he hurt me. Yeah, the Lord knows all about it, but you need to forgive, and you need to go on with life so God can use you. He's speaking to you.